Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Happy Easter, everybody. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the question we want to ask for this TV program is, why did Jesus rise from the dead? He could have died on the cross and then silently floated back up into heaven. Why did he go to the extreme of getting buried for 3 days, then coming out, then appearing to all these people? Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That's the sermon. Three reasons Jesus had to physically rise from the dead. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this, the most important day of the Christian year, the day Jesus rose from the dead. And we pray your Holy Spirit now will speak to us about why this is so central. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Three reasons Jesus rose from the dead. Reason number one, and this comes from 1 Corinthians 15. For as by a man, that's Adam, came death, by a man, that's Jesus, has also come the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. The first reason Jesus rose from the dead was to undo what Adam did to us. Now follow this. Adam got us damned. Jesus got us saved. Adam got us into sin and death. Jesus got us out of sin and death. Adam got us wounded. Jesus got us healed. So the reason Jesus rose from the dead was to overcome what the old Adam did to us. Maybe you know who Johnny Erickson Tada is. When she was 15, she dove into a lake and has been paralyzed ever since. Christian woman who now has a ministry. And I went to a conference and she got up to speak, and with tears she told this story. She said, I went to a third world country, went to an orphanage where this girl with cerebral palsy was tied with cloths to a crib. She's been in that state a long time. And Johnny said, I asked the woman attendant, how often does this child get outside? And the answer was, this child never gets outside. And I heard that and I thought of what Adam did to all the suffering and sorrow and sin and pain that we have in this world was brought upon us when Adam and Eve sinned against God. So Jesus came to undo that. Now, he does some of that right now. Johnny Erickson now has a ministry worldwide where she buys wheelchairs for these orphans and others to get them out into the sunlight. And so some of this Adam's stuff is being overcome right now, but we ain't seen nothing yet. At the second coming of Christ, when Christ returns to judge the world, he will totally overcome what Adam did to us. There won't be one wheelchair in heaven. First reason Jesus rose from the dead was to undo what Adam did. Second reason Jesus rose from the dead, to meet our deepest need. If I asked you, what's your deepest need right now? Someone might say, to get rid of my cancer, or I need a job, or I've got a rough marriage, or my kids are a mess. Or, you know, fill in the blank, but that is not your deepest need. Let me tell you what your deepest need is, whether you know it or not. When God opens your eyes to see how sinful you are and how holy He is, then you realize my deepest need is the forgiveness of my sins. And Jesus rose from the dead to bring us the forgiveness of sins. Now, when we think of the forgiveness of sins, we normally connect it to the cross.
that's where my sins were forgiven. And that's true. For instance, Ephesians 1, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, his death on the cross, the forgiveness of our sins. Romans 3, we are justified, that means declared not guilty of our sins, by Christ's grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. There's the cross. So I was forgiven at the cross, but listen to this. This is kind of different. Romans 4, Jesus was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. That connects the resurrection of Christ with our salvation. And we get this from 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Somehow the resurrection of Christ also brings us freedom over our sin. So when were my sins forgiven? We'll put this all together. When Jesus died on the cross and paid our sin debt, Jesus said, it is finished. We're forgiven. But I would not have known that my sins were forgiven if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead to tell us that the atonement was made. So the second reason Jesus rose from the dead was to bring us the forgiveness of sins. I mean, if you were to ask me, Tom, why were you drawn to Christ many years ago? I would say, I knew I needed the forgiveness of my sins. I went to a conference, and the speaker asked us all two questions. Question number one, he said, are you certain that your sins are forgiven? And then he said, question number two, if you are you grateful? And the point is, you know, the reason we serve God, love God, it's not because we have to. It's because he so lovingly forgives my sins daily. Well, at the conference, the pastor gave a message and then he said, any questions? And someone stood up in the audience and he said, I know we're supposed to evangelize homosexuals, but I'm so repulsed by what they do, I don't want to do that. What should I do? And the pastor answered, I am the worst sinner that I know. I know my sins in thought, word, and deed, how evil I am. And because I am the worst sinner I know, I can't look down my nose at anybody. Once you understand how holy God is and how wicked you are, you know what you need. You need the forgiveness of sins. That's the second reason Jesus rose from the dead. There was a young man who was found frozen to death in a cabin in Alberta, Canada. In his frozen hand was clutched a letter. Dear Mother, it is so cold. I don't know if anyone is coming to rescue me. But Mother, the one thing I wonder, will God forgive my sins? Thus ended the life of a young man in Alberta, Canada. You know why Jesus rose from the dead? So you wouldn't have to die like that. Third reason Jesus rose from the dead. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Here's the third reason Jesus rose from the dead, to overcome the Adam, to overcome our need and bring us the forgiveness of sins. The third reason he rose from the dead, to give us an inheritance in heaven. I love this story. There was a very wealthy man who was a widower. He only had one son, a 12-year-old boy. And he commissioned a famous artist to paint the boy's portrait. And he hung it over the fireplace. And suddenly, tragically, the 12-year-old boy died. And not long after, the wealthy man died of a broken heart. Well, the day comes for the big auction of the estate. Large crowd comes. The first item put on the auction block is the portrait of this 12-year-old boy. And the auctioneer says, this is a famous artist. Who will give me $1,000 for this painting? Nobody bid. $500? Nobody bid. $200? Goes all the way down to $50. Who will give me $50 for this painting? And the old scrub woman who worked in the mansion remembered how much her employer loved that little boy in that picture, and she loved him too. And she, I'll give you $50. And the auctioneer clicked his gavel and he said, the auction is over, because it was stipulated in the will, whoever loves my son enough to buy this painting gets the whole estate. The third reason Jesus rose from the dead is to give us an inheritance in heaven. And if you love Jesus, the Son of God, God promises you one day you're going to get the entire estate in heaven. You know, if I can get personal here, I remember there was a man of my church who was dying. So I went to his house and he and his wife and I held hands. And we prayed, and I said the verses that I say at the deathbed, Ephesians 1. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, 1 John 5. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we talked about the forgiveness of sins, our salvation in heaven because of Christ, and he died. Well, about 2 days later, I had a dream, and I was in a room holding hands with my mom, my dad, and my sister Ruth Ann, all of whom are dead. And in that dream, I was saying those same verses to them. And I woke up kind of sad, because I had a chance to do that with mom and Ruth Ann, but dad died when I was 19, and I didn't know how to share the gospel. Dad was a Catholic. He went to church every Sunday. Mom raised us Lutheran. We went to church every Sunday. But Dad and I never had one real talk about God. I hope he's in heaven. I just don't know because we never talked. So, decades after Dad died, I remembered that our Lutheran pastor, Pastor Schaff, would visit Dad when Dad was dying. And I thought, I'm going to go visit Pastor Schaff. And now he was retired living in Florida, and I visited him and his wife, and I said, Pastor Schaff, you know, you visited my dad. Did my dad know Jesus? And Pastor Schaff said, you know, Tom, I think he did. And that did my heart good. I come back to Minneapolis. The pastor's wife sends me a letter. Dear Tom, I watched as you searched my husband's memory for faith of your father. And it was a very nice letter, but I think the point of her letter was, don't do that to your kids. Mom and Dad, if you know Jesus, tell your kids you know Jesus. Grandma and Grandpa, do your grandchildren know that you... Do people know you have an inheritance in heaven? And, you know, I'll share one more thing I thought of. This is some years ago, but I went hiking in the Canadian Rockies by myself. I got lost, and I was sliding down this mass of rocks, and I finally landed standing over a cliff. I couldn't go back up. I couldn't go down. And I thought, maybe I'm going to die up here. And I tried my cell phone. I was in the middle of nowhere. It didn't work. And I remember sitting down thinking, okay, Lord, the rubber is meeting the road here. If I die right now, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. I know, sinner that I am, I know because I'm saved by grace, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven because of Christ. But then I prayed, now get me out of here. And I prayed and I tried my phone again, and it worked. And they came out, and they had to get a helicopter with a guy coming down on the line, hooking me up to the, and they pulled me. And I, here I am. But, you know, do you have that knowledge that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven? Let's review this. Jesus rose from the dead for three big reasons. Number one, to undo what Adam did to us. There won't be wheelchairs in heaven. The second reason Jesus rose from the dead was to bring us our deepest need being solved, which is not a new car. It's the forgiveness of your sins. The third reason he rose from the dead was to give us an inheritance in heaven. So I close by asking you the big question. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you're going to heaven? And if you don't know, I just ask you to do two things. This is huge. If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, would you do two things? Number one, get alone with God and talk to God about your sins and tell him that you know you need Jesus. And then the second thing I ask you to do after you've done that, be in church on Sunday and next Sunday and next Sunday. Do you know why the early Christians changed the day of worship from Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday? Because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. That was such a big deal. We've been commemorating that event every Sunday ever since. So, you know, get alone with God. Talk to him about your sins. Talk to him about your need for Christ. Then number two, find a good church and go to church every week. There was a sign in front of a church. Yes, we are open between Christmas and Easter. Don't do that. Get in church every week. Because Christians, we are not waiting. The message of Easter, of the resurrection of Christ, is we are not waiting for the undertaker. We're waiting for the uptaker. Are you ready? Amen.
Happy Easter to you. Welcome to the portion of the show where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, can smoking be a god?
Well, this was the lady that wrote this in, and you know, in a secondary sense, when the Bible talks about false gods, they're talking Baal, Ashtaroth, you know, Jupiter, Hermes, that kind of thing. But I suppose, you know, eating food can be sex, porn, you know, smoking. In a secondary sense, things can be a god. And so if you smoke, I think I'd work on that. Mm-hmm. And God help me quit this. And I knew an old pastor who said, smoking won't keep you out of heaven. It'll just get you there quicker. So I think it's important. And, you know, especially in this day and age, don't smoke marijuana. Mm-hmm. That's akin to drunkenness. You're getting a high, and drunkenness is a sin. And in Mona, I'm going to go off. I'm going to vent here for a minute. Normally, I don't get political, but please. So not far from my house, Mona, this last week, they've opened up a marijuana store. And I thought to myself, thank you, liberal Minnesota Democrats, because let me tell you what's happened here in Minnesota. Now the Democrats own the House, the Senate, and the governorship. So in the last year, everything they want, they've gotten, which is, number one, they knocked down all abortion restrictions. Mm-hmm. You can get an abortion in Minnesota the day of delivery. And kids can get it without parental knowledge. Second thing they did, recreational marijuana. Now we have pot stores popping up all over Minnesota. Third thing they did, many states are banning sex change operations on children. In law, we affirmed we're a safe state to come get your child. Mm-hmm. A sex change operations on children? And, you know, Mona, years ago there used to be a group called Democrats Pro-Life. Mm-hmm. The last time I saw them was years ago at the Obama nominating convention. They had a sign up in the balcony. Their sign was being beaten down. I don't even know if Democrats Pro-Life even exists anymore. And now they're going to start another session. You know what the priorities are for some of them? Assisted suicide, making that legal so your doctor can kill you, and making Minnesota a sanctuary state. I mean, is this New York, Colorado, Illinois are having illegal immigrants bused to them? Denver is full. We don't have any more beds. So we have homeless encampments. We have crime. And Minnesota wants to get in on that. You know, Romans 1 says, once you turn your back on God, God gives you a depraved mind so you can't even think straight. So end of my rant, but don't smoke marijuana. Mm-hmm. I'm just grieved that we have a pot store now near my house.
We need to pray for Minnesota.
Oh, you know, and people, because this is being seen around the country. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking of Minnesota, moving here, think again. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Next question. On your show, you were asked if you would know people in heaven. I believe your response was, we would know our mother, father, grandparents, etc. when we saw them in heaven. What if those individuals aren't in heaven but in hell? Will we still see them and know them, or will they be lost to us forever?
Well, the reason I think you'll know there's my grandma mm-hmm. is because Jesus said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the yep. kingdom of heaven. I've never laid eyes on them, but somehow I'll know there's Abraham. Mm-hmm. I think the same will be true of all our Christian loved ones. But the good question is, okay, what if Uncle Joe the atheist isn't up there? And am I going to grieve for eternity because he isn't there? And I think St. Augustine in the 300s, if I remember right, believed we in heaven will be able to see in the distance people in hell, mm-hmm. and it will seem right. And it will seem so right to us mm-hmm. that it won't be a form of grief. That's a guess, though. I don't know any verse that says what it, you know, mm-hmm. will God erase your memory of these people so you won't be sad? I don't know that there's an answer. Mm-hmm. Just everything will be fine. God will work it out. But I don't know a specific verse for that one.
We'll know eventually.
Yeah.
You say there will be no sin in heaven, but didn't the fallen angels commit sin, causing their ouster? Is it that they had free will, but we will not?
And, you know, how did Satan become Satan, and how did the demons become demons? Mm-hmm. It's not really clearly spelled out in the Bible. Some people think a passage from Ezekiel is talking about the devil, but it's really talking about the king of Tyre, or is that Isaiah? Anyway, but the theory, and it's a good one, I think, that Satan was a good angel and so were the demons. They were good angels and they rebelled against God and became the devil and became the demons. I think it's a good theory, but I think we have to be careful on that one. If there's no sin in heaven, how come they were able to sin? Well, that was talking about near the beginning of creation. Now comes in the new heavens and the new earth at the end of time. There will be no sin in the new heavens and the new earth. I think that's the way to answer that.
Okay.
Yeah.
My question is about being born again. I am a longtime Catholic. I've had the faith of God in my heart since I was a very little boy. I'm 62-year-old man, and my faith has never wavered. The older I get, I am truly blessed to continue to find my way to heaven.
Yeah. There are two ways to be saved. One way is the Timothy way, mm-hmm. where he knew the scriptures since he was a little boy, and he probably just always believed. And then there's the Paul, the apostle way, where he gets knocked down on the road to Damascus, gets radically converted. And Paul could tell you the day he was saved. Mm-hmm. Timothy probably couldn't. Mm-hmm. Now, I used to do a radio show, and I regularly had a caller who informed me regularly that I was not saved because I didn't know the exact day. And I would respond to him, would you show me one verse that mm-hmm. says you have to know the day you were saved to be saved? Mm-hmm. So there's two ways to be saved. The main thing is that you're trusting Christ for your salvation.
Amen. Do you believe that the Catholic Church is a cult? We have friends who are Catholic, and they believe that their priests can forgive sins. The Bible says that only God can forgive sins.
Well, I'm a Lutheran, and I don't like this question because it's always so hard to answer. I have huge problems with the Catholic Church, purgatory, indulgences, but in John 20, Jesus gave authority to the apostles mm-hmm. to forgive sins. He said, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. So God has given to the church the authority to say, you're forgiven, or until you repent, you're not forgiven. I have to do that. You have to maybe do that when you're dealing with people. So we do have that authority. And so God has given the authority to forgive sins to the church. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the bigger question, is the Catholic Church a cult? I think there are sincere Christians in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church, but let me tell you what grieves me. Do you know who Ben Shapiro is?
Yes.
Articulate Jew, articulate. Who's great in defending Christian, mm-hmm. Judeo-Christian values. But so he's interviewing a Catholic bishop who's here in Minnesota. And he said, Bishop Barron, I'm a Jew. I'll try to lead a good life. And I have people telling me if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm not going to heaven. What does the Catholic Church teach? And the bishop, God forgive him, said, well, Jesus is the preferred route. But as long as you're following your conscience, you'll be saved. And I thought, when the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 says, Men, what must I do to be saved? Paul the Apostle said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And this Catholic bishop led Ben Shapiro astray for eternity. It was grievous. And the Pope has said similar things. The Pope, when he started being Pope, said to atheists, just do good and I'll see you in heaven. The problem is, nobody does good.
Amen.
Nobody follows. We break our conscience. We don't follow our... If Ben Shapiro perfectly followed his conscience, he could be saved. But that's not... And he doesn't. That's why he needs Jesus. But that's not what the bishop was saying. Mm. That was tragic. So, I personally can't be a Catholic. I don't doubt there are Catholics who love the Lord and are saved. Now, the question is that because of or in spite of the Catholic Church? We could do a show on that. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple verses that cause me to wonder and worry are Matthew 25, verse 11, Lord, Lord, let us in. And he says, go away, I do not know you. And Revelation 3:15, since you are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spit you out. How do I know if I am lukewarm?
Those verses are in the Bible for a reason, to keep us on our toes.
Yes.
And a lot of people have this thing called easy believism, that as long as I believe there's a God, I can live like the devil, and I'm going to heaven because, hey, I'm saved by grace. Mm-hmm. We are saved by grace alone and not by our good works. But when you're saved by grace alone, it changes your life. Mm-hmm. And if you're living in impenitent sin, even though you say you're saved by grace alone, you're going to hear on the last day, depart from me, I never knew you. So it's important that we believe in Christ. That's what saves us. But our good works are not the cause of our salvation. Mm-hmm. They're the result of our salvation. So, yeah, those verses are in there to say, look, this isn't just a head. The demons believe in God.
Yes, they do.
So there you go.
Okay. The message that you are putting on TV and Facebook is completely stupid and wrong. You say that we are all born sinners and we deserve hell. And then you say 2,000 years ago, God became a human and came down, and his name was Jesus, and died on the cross for our sins. I don't know what Bible you are reading but there is nowhere in the Bible that says that. And how do you disregard the story about the Virgin Mary and her giving birth to God's Son and named him Jesus? I think you need to go back to Bible study and resign from being a pastor until you get the story straight. Your thoughts?
Well, thank you. I mean, this one threw me because I believe in the virgin birth of Christ.
Yes.
I believe Jesus. I'm think we have a little 30-second spiel that is on TV where in 30 seconds I talk about the way we're saved is God became a man, lived the perfect life we couldn't, died on the cross, rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Believe in him and you'll be saved. I didn't mention the virgin birth. I'm thinking she thinks I don't believe in it. I do believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know what else I would say to this woman? Paul the Apostle says, Timothy, correct your opponents with gentleness, lest perhaps, they'll repent. And just, normally people are nice when they, but, mm-hmm. you are so stupid, Pastor Brock. You are such an idiot. Well, you don't need to do that.
Read the Bible yourself,
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Good.
Thanks for joining us today, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Have a great week. See you next time on the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.